Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show, hour number three here on a Monday for you, wherever you are listening from WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO up in beautiful Wausau, WXCE in Amory, or perhaps you're one of the cool kids who downloaded the Civic Media app and who are streaming us via that on WRCE, or maybe you said, Alexa, play the Todd Alba Show or Civic Media or something like that. Or maybe you're watching this on Facebook or Twitter. If you are, welcome in. I have this beautiful window behind me, but it's looking better, but still not perfect. I thought I was being smart. I'm out in Richland Center. I was here for the holidays at my mom's place, and a little exposure to COVID. Everybody is fine. I am tested negative so far. We'll find out more later today. But I thought I'd set up shop here and show you the beautiful driftless hills behind me. But the sun came up in the east, as it seems to every morning, and it whited everything out. So I apologize for that. But as Aaron pointed out, I know. I'm sorry I can't show you the beautiful hills. Maybe I'll post a pic of the hills a little bit later. But in with you after a Thanksgiving Day weekend, other than a little bout with COVID. Not me, but exposure to it. Everything is fine. Thanks to Aaron Zommers, our family was brought together in the harmony of board games this weekend. So thank you, Aaron, for that. We appreciate you inspiring us.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm glad that at least somebody is listening to the board game stuff. And yeah, Ticket to Ride is a fun one that a lot of people are catching on to at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. We played Five Crowns, but my sister, brother-in-law, and nieces, they have Ticket to Ride. So hopefully we'll play that sometime soon. But a good time was had by all for the most part for Thanksgiving. Hopefully yours was as well. In this half hour, we are going to talk a little bit about the situation at UW-Platteville-Richland and the announced closure of that campus last week by the UW system and the Platteville Chancellor. At the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Richland Center Mayor Todd Copperdahl, and the mayor will give us his thoughts on that, what he knows, and how the city and the area can move forward. Last week, of course, we talked to Richland County Chairman County Board Chairman Marty Brewer and also County Supervisor Linda Gentis and got their thoughts on that. So I'll be anxious to talk with Mayor Copperdahl at the bottom of the hour. Your weather forecast for today, if you're in Richland Center, is going to be beautiful. Sunny, a high near 49. Tomorrow, a 70% chance of rain or a snow shower. Most likely rain, as the temperatures will top out at 46. Moving slightly north to our friends in Wausau, look for cloudy skies today, a high near 40. Tomorrow, rain and snow mixed, a high of 39. And then up in Amory, that's where things get pretty dicey. Today, though, not bad, 39 and clouds. A storm system moves in tonight and into tomorrow. A winter weather advisory takes effect at 6 a.m. tomorrow for our Amory listeners. A high of 34 tomorrow. Some wet, heavy snow. Snow accumulations of 3 to 7 inches tomorrow in Amory and northwestern Wisconsin. So depending upon where you are at, drive safely. But enjoy today. It's going to be pretty nice wherever you are today. What do you need to know? Top news stories of the day. Wisconsin names Luke Fickell of Cincinnati as new head football coach. It was believed interim head coach Jim Leonard would get the job, but Wisconsin's AD Chris McIntosh pulled the surprise and the upset, perhaps some might say, and brought in the sought-after 2021 National Football Coach of the Year, Luke Fickell, your new head coach for the Badgers. Speaking of the Badger program, in the volleyball side of things, the women's volleyball team won the Big Ten championship on the road against arch rival Nebraska on Saturday, then went to Ohio State and knocked off the Buckeyes on Sunday, and they got the number one seed in the region in the NCAA tournament. They're the number two seed overall in the tournament. They play the first round at the friendly confines of the UW Fieldhouse in Madison on Friday against the University of Quinnipiac, a great polling school. Ever heard of the Quinnipiac polls?
I have not.
Yeah, they're a big, They're a big polling firm, a big polling place, kind of like Marquette Law School poll for in Wisconsin. Quinnipiac has quite the polling program themselves. Talked about weather earlier in our neck of the woods. A large storm system is moving through the Pacific Northwest today, causing travel delays. If you or a loved one are headed that way, be aware that you could see a lot of delays if you're headed to the Pacific Northwest today and tonight. Unprecedented protests in China amid the country's COVID crackdowns over the weekend. China's zero tolerance policy for COVID has been particularly hard in the Shanghai area, and a lot of people protesting President Xi's kind of crackdown and zero tolerance policy. Not the norm for Chinese folks to rise up and publicly protest, so that is certainly newsworthy and something to keep our eye on. Also, U.S. President Joe Biden says he will seek an assault weapons ban in the lame duck session of Congress before the Republicans take over in January. We will see if the votes are there. Probably not, but President Biden giving it his best shot. More sports. The Bucks won 124-115 over the Dallas Mavericks last night. And the Packers, unfortunately, came up short in a wild and wacky game in Philadelphia. The Pack lost 40-33. Aaron Rodgers had to leave the game with an injury beyond his thumb injury. Jordan Love came on and threw for a touchdown, but could not quite get it done. We are going to take a break, come back, and when we do, we'll talk a little bit of UW Richland higher ed, and we'll also later in the hour talk a little bit about Trump's Thanksgiving. Quite Thanksgiving it was. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show for a Monday, November 28th, 2022, along with Aaron Sommers. I'm Todd Allball. Thank you for joining us live here in the RC, Richland Center, that is. As the sun has come out, I know if you're watching on Twitter and Facebook, it's all washed out, but it's a beautiful day here in Richland Center. Hopefully it is where you are as well. Before the break, I kind of alluded, we're going to be talking this segment and at the bottom of the hour, joined by Richland Center Mayor Todd Coppernall to talk a little bit about the situation at UW-Platteville Richland, the announced closing of the campus here. And it's a very difficult situation because a lot of these communities in our state are hurting. And here's something that someone sent me that I found fascinating and also just tragic. This comes from the nonprofit group called Rebuild by Design. They are using data in conjunction with a grant from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. And what they did is they looked at disaster occurrences between 2011 and 2021. So the last decade. And they used, so whenever there's a flood, a tornado, a major drought, any sort of major occurrence, the federal government can come in. Often the governor will request this, and the federal government declares that county a disaster area. Okay. What it does is it frees up federal funding. It frees up certain federal programs for help. Sometimes it frees up the National Guard to come in and help clean up a disaster or help it out. But there's a threshold. Or they don't just give these away like candy. You have to have legitimate problems in your county to get declared a federal disaster area. So this nonprofit group, Rebuild by Design, took all this data and compiled it together. And if you're watching on Facebook or Twitter, I'll kind of hold it up here to the camera. You can see it's kind of all the counties that were declared disaster areas are in red. Those that were not are in gray.
For those of you who can't see it, there's a lot of red.
There's a lot of red. And in fact, 90% of counties have had a recent disaster declaration in the last 10 years. I mean, is it any wonder that some of our smaller town communities are struggling and need help? It's particularly acute in the South. And in parts of the West and far Midwest, Florida, for instance, every county, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, every single county has been declared a disaster area at one time or another. California, I think all but one county has had a nationally declared disaster area. In Wisconsin, the hardest hit areas with natural disasters, the Southwest and the West. The only areas not included are kind of Door County and Green Bay area. A couple of areas like around Columbus. And then I would say like around the Rhinelander area, right in there. But the most acute areas of nationally declared disasters are the Southwest Wisconsin, including Richland County, and really up by Bayfield, Ashland, Superior, up there as well. So when you talk about what happened last week, when the University of Wisconsin Platteville decided in conjunction with the UW system to close UW Platteville Richland, or the Richland campus, this is a major thing. And as we talked last week, this came down from the new president of the system to the chancellor, who is also the interim chancellor at UW-Platteville, because the longtime chancellor, Dennis Shields, took off for a new job down in Louisiana, I believe. And the point we've been making last week was that the locals here on the ground, from the people who are part of the Friends group of the campus to the foundation to the community leaders, they've done everything they can think of and to do, including having town hall type meetings, inviting the community in. In fact, had former UW system president Tommy Thompson here in Richland Center a couple of months ago before he left office, and begged and said, what more can we be doing here? We need help. This is a problem. This has been going on for some time. And for those of you who are not familiar, they merged the two-year campuses with the four-year campuses about 4 or 5 years ago. And when they did that, instead of having one dean at each of the two-year campuses, which would be a local cheerleader, which would help get funding, which would help recruit, they pared that back. And so, for instance, UW Richland and UW Baraboo got put back with UW Platteville, and one person was assigned the deanship between Richland and Baraboo, and that person decided to live in Baraboo. So Richland Center was left tantamount with no dean. There was also a key recruitment position here at Richland Center. That person for several years, up until basically the last four years, was a guy by the name of John Poole. And we talked last week how Aaron is my producer, is from Manitowoc, and Aaron remembers John Poole going all the way to Manitowoc to be there at a local high school recruitment event. Well, when John took his well-deserved retirement after giving his life to this campus, they never funded a position to replace that recruitment position. So you had no dean, essentially, on the ground living here. You had no key full-time recruiter. You had a chancellor in Dennis Shields at Platteville who never wanted UW Richland. And you had a state legislature who kept cutting funds for the UW system. In fact, when we had Marty Brewer on last week, the county board chair from Richland County, he pointed out that Richland County has sent a resolution to the Wisconsin County Association begging the legislature to restore funds. It is somewhere around the neighborhood of 28% of state revenue has been taken away from the Richland campus, from Richland County. And that's just for the campus. It goes beyond that for shared revenue. So legislators, such as State Senator Howard Markline, have been absent. They've been AWOL. We talked to Marty Brewer last week. He said he hasn't heard from Senator Markline. So you have no championing the cause, a champion in the legislature. You have a dean, or pardon me, a chancellor in Platteville, and Dennis Shields, the former chancellor, who never wanted to have the Richland campus as part of his program because he was focused on building a great engineering school at Platteville, which he by and large did. We have to give him credit. But he saw Richland as an albatross around his neck. So the Richland campus was left out here to die on its own. They can only do so much, right? And at some point, if you're not given the resources, I mean, if you're sent to the hospital and you're not given medication, if a doctor doesn't come see you, if a nurse never checks your vitals, if you just lay there and you're not well, the chances are you're not going to get better and you very, very well may die. So in essence, that's what happened to the Richland campus. It was sent to the urgent care, then went to the ER, then went into intensive care, but nobody came and checked on them. No doctor came, no education nurse. There were no meds given in form of finances and funds. They were left to die. And so it was not a great surprise last week when the UW system and the chancellor at Platteville announced that they were closing. So after our show last week, on Wednesday, our last fully live show, we were off on Thanksgiving and Friday, had a couple of taped segments. So we had some basketball that was in this place as well. But after our last live show on Wednesday, guess what? I had put in a call and an email to the chancellor's office in Platteville. And guess what? After the show, the chancellor's representative gave me a call. Very nice. And I said, you know, we'd love to have her on the show. We're thinking about, we're trying to do a roundtable discussion, get the community involved. He said, well, I think it's better that the chancellor waits until after she has her plan developed. And then we'll have her come on your show. And then we'll have her go to Richland Center. And I said, wait a minute here. I said, she was given a charge by the system president to come up and develop a plan for the future of Richland Center campus after the academic programs are moved to UW-Platteville. And you're telling me that she doesn't want to talk to anybody until after that plan is done. Silence. I said, well, it might be a good idea as a person who, you know, used to be the spokesperson and chief of staff for a state legislator. I said, in my experience, it's always good for your boss to show up when things are not going well and take the heat, in addition to showing up and taking the accolades. And I use the example, I worked for former state senator Dale Schultzen, and he was looking at voting against Scott Walker's Act 10 proposal, the only Republican in the Senate to do so. And he showed up at Dodgeville, and I was with him one night. And if you've ever been to the high school gym at Dodgeville, they pulled out the bleachers on one side, and my boss and a couple of others sat in a 4x8 or 3x8, whatever, 6 table on folding chairs in the middle of the gym. And one by one, over the course of about 4 hours, people came down and expressed their anger and disappointment and also some of the praise. And Dale sat there and took copious notes and took that. And whether you agreed with him or not, he earned respect that day because he showed up in person and he listened to the people who elected him and represented him. And it's the same way with a chancellor of a university. You, by nature of your job, are responsible to your electorate, quote unquote, who are the people in your community. The UW-Richland campus is largely supported by taxpayer money from county funds, from state funds, in addition to tuition. And so for a chancellor at UW-Platteville to not want to show up here and take some of the heat and at least listen to the ideas and say, hey, I want to hear your thoughts on sourcing this plan, seems a little odd to me. So after the conversation with the chancellor's representative, he said, well, you know, I'll thank you. I appreciate this. He said, I'm certainly could go back and talk to the chancellor and get back with you next week. So let's hold out hope. Let's not. You know, completely prejudge here. I'm hoping that I can help guide these folks a little bit based on my experience. And hopefully we can convince the chancellor and her team to come out here to Richland Center and listen to the local folk, the local representatives, and see what's the best. Number one, is there any way to get this reversed? And number two, what's next for the UW-Richland campus? We are going to bring on Richland Center Mayor Todd Copernow in our next segment here. We're going to talk to him live. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. To the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Indeed, we are coming to you from a small town, but a great town here on a Monday, the 28th of November, 2022. Glad you are with us. So whether it is in WXCO and Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, WXCE Lake Air Radio in beautiful Amory, or right here in Richland Center on WRCE here, news from the center. We welcome you back. And before the break, we were talking about last week's announcement on Wednesday. And by the way, I love the fact they waited till basically a holiday weekend to announce this. But the announcement by UW System President Jay Rothman to Chancellor at UW Platteville Tammy Vedovich to basically close the Richland campus here in Richland Center. To discuss all of this, we bring on, we're thankful for his time today, Richland Center's own Todd Copernow, Mayor of Richland Center. Mayor Copernow, thank you for making time for us and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Well, my pleasure. And first of all, I want people to know who might not be from Richland Center, who are listening in Wausau or Amory or other places. You're somebody who grew up here, but then you moved away and you came back. So it's not like you've only had the experience of Richland Center. You've gotten other ideas and views in your life as well.
True, Todd. I graduated high school in Richland Center in 1985 and did attend classes at the UW Richland campus and then transferred out to Winona State. And between leaving home and coming home, I lived in six communities, three in Wisconsin, three in Minnesota. I actually raised my kids in Wanakee. And I moved back here in 2016, and it's been the best era of my life, the last several years living back here and now serving as mayor.
Well, I for one appreciate that you did go away for a bit and gained some outside knowledge and then brought that back with you and came back to Richland Center. And I appreciate that perspective, right? Because sometimes I think if you get live all your life in one place, nothing wrong with that, but it's always good to have new ideas as well. When you first heard this news last week, I assume you perhaps got at least a few hours heads up. What was your first reaction at the news that UW Platteville Richland was, for all purposes, going to close or saying transfer programs or whatever? But I said last week, it's kind of like going to Culver's and saying, we're out of custard, we're out of burgers, we're out of fries, but we're still Culver's. What was your first reaction to this news?
Well, my first reaction, if this makes any sense, not surprised and shocked at the same time. And the reason I would say that, I actually got the news in a phone call from Acting Chancellor Tammy Vedovich, UW-Platteville Acting Chancellor Tammy Vedovich, texted me the night before and asked if I could take a phone call the next morning. She and I have had several recent conversations, so I really wasn't alarmed by that. I was not at all expecting the news she delivered. And she called me about a half hour before the press release dropped as a courtesy, basically, here, Mayor, you're going to get a bunch of calls today. This is why. We had a cordial conversation. And the truth is, and I said this in a phone call with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I politely completed the phone call, thanked her for calling me, hung up. I have a day job. I walked outside the business where no one was around and sobbed. And the reason for that, I equate this. Imagine if you had a loved one who was in declining health, and you can see that, right? And you think you might know what's coming, you're hoping it doesn't, and you're doing what you can to avoid and prevent, but you think you're ready for the news when it comes, and then it comes, and it's still a huge jolt. And that's what the news did to me. I mean, I attended the campus. I'm one of 10 family members who have attended the campus through the generations. And so, no, I mean, it was tough, Todd, and obviously, for a lot of people in the community and folks like yourself and like I was for a long time, people who grew up here, began their college career at the UW-Richland campus, and then moved on to their lives to wherever they are now. And that's a huge reach to everywhere that you can go from having begun your college in Richland. And I also gave a quote that the term that came to mind, and I don't want to be overly dramatic, but this is the way it felt. I explained that the Richland campus, for its entirety, since it was founded, it's been a place where things began, a place for new beginnings, meaning you go there to start college, new beginning. You go there and eventually it leads to a new career, a new beginning. Lifelong friendships began there. Romances blossomed there when people met there for the first time. Things began there, and this feels like an end of the beginnings. And that's exactly how it felt when I heard it, is that that's the end of a lot of great things. So now we're faced here with the task of turning this into a positive and doing everything we can to do that. And I believe that will happen. But of course, this puts some huge decisions on the shoulders of the Richland County Board, because as you know, Todd, the county actually owns the land and the buildings. Well, now what, right? You've got 8 buildings out there, and right there on city land, right adjacent, right on the edge of town. Well, what do you do now? And that's not a small question.
Let me, and I appreciate your connecting that to community. I think it's important for people that don't understand or aren't from the Richland area. And also we talked a little bit about, too, I mean, places like, you know, Rice Lake, UW-Barron County, which is our listed area in Amory, UW-Marathon in just outside of Wausau. This affects several smaller communities, much like if you would close or consolidate a local public school district. You know, many communities are identified or find their identity largely through their public schools. And Richland Center, I think it's fair to say a lot of people connect that campus with our community. As you said, whether it was you or I who attended there, the campus has hosted community plays, concerts, continuing art, or continuing education, art. There's the Simon's Rec area where people go to work out. The list goes on and on. So you make the point that this is truly an identity point for the campus. Let me ask you a couple of pointed questions, if I may, Mayor Copperdall from Richland Center. Number one, a lot of people are asking, is this a done deal? Do you see any way, is there a way to talk to university people or state legislators? Do you see any way that this could be adjusted, undone, reversed in any way?
I don't know. I think it's always possible, and I would recommend talking to state representatives and so forth. The way this was explained to me by Acting Chancellor Ivetovich was that this was a directive to her from Jay Rothman, who, of course, is the president of the UW system. That's how she phrased it. That's what I know. So the decision did not come to Richland from Platteville. It came to Platteville from Madison and then to Richland. So I don't know if there's any flexibility there. I've not been told that there is. But again, anytime I think it's a good idea, if something's on your mind, to reach out to the elected representatives.
Have you heard at all from Senator Mark Lyon or Representative Kurtz since this happened?
I have from Mr. Kurtz.
Okay. And does he have any inkling of wanting to put together a town hall to try to talk about this, to try to save it? Or is he just kind of resigned, in your opinion, to the closure?
I wouldn't say he's resigned to the closure. I don't know that I would expect or that he expects a change of direction here. Resigned to it is probably too strong, but did I get a sense that he would expect a change in this outcome? I did not get that sense. I have asked him to come out and meet with me here, and he's agreed to do that. We're setting up a time. We don't have a time set yet, but he's agreed to come out here, and when he does, I'll be inviting some other civic leaders. I'd like to have some representatives from the county present and so forth. I believe that will happen. As you know, Todd, you're from here. You've seen this area so many times. I mean, I realize how close this campus is to your heart and your family and your family's history. I get all of that. For the people who aren't from here, if you don't know, the local high school is right up the hill, okay, right next door. So what I'm doing here is I'm trying to get some meetings together. Mr. Kurtz, certainly Senator Mark Lyon would be welcome to join us. County board members, school board members, but really a snapshot of local leaders and state leaders to get into, okay, where are we? Why are we there? And what can we do next? Whether that's, you know, what do we do? Okay, this is a big deal. This is a lot of things, Todd. This is the decision that we all have discussed with the UW Richland campus and all that that brings with it. But now, I think if that, this is where we go ahead, Todd.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If this is where this goes, if what they said, which is to move all the degree-seeking classes off campus and to transition those students away to Platteville and Baraboo, if that's what happens, suddenly Richland County, which has its own significant budget issues right now, has a bunch of land and 8 buildings that they own, it owns, we own, and they're not being used for what they were built to do. And what do you do next? There's a lot going on here. It isn't just one question. And each question is a big one. This is not going to be an easy process. And as I mentioned before, it puts our county board in a tough spot because they didn't, you know, this decision came Madison to Platteville to Richland. The news was delivered to them. They didn't raise their hand and say, please close the campus, right? This has been done somewhere else and they're being told. But it's a huge budget question, too, for the local county, because if that's what happens, what do? You got 8 buildings and the real estate they're on. You can't afford to leave it like that either. So there's a lot to discuss now, and that is why I'm inviting the representatives I talked to you, I mentioned already, to come out and meet. And I believe that'll happen within the next 10 days or so.
I really appreciate that. We have just about 4 minutes here remaining, so I want to get to a kind of a speed round if we could. You may have heard earlier in the broadcast, I said I heard from the chancellor's representative midday on Wednesday. According to him, she had no plans to come to Richland Center and talk with anyone until her plan is done sometime in mid-December. I told him I thought that would be a grave mistake. Have you heard at all from the chancellor? Is she willing to come out and meet with people and have them be a part of this plan rather than having the edict sent down from on high?
I spoke to Chancellor Ivetovich twice the day the announcement came out, first when she called to tell me, and then I called her later in the day. I've not heard from her since then, but she was very open with me at the time. I did not ask her, and I'm willing to do so, I did not ask her at that time if she had plans to come back out here in the near future. I was, as you might guess, I got...
Not to cut you off, Todd, but that's the thing that I want people to understand, that you have local people here like yourself as the mayor, Marty Brewer as the county board chair, county supervisors, alders here at Richland Center, community folks, all trying for the last couple of years to pull this together. And it's the people on the ground that have the least amount of ability to get more funding and make things happen. They're doing the most work. This is the time I would expect a state senator like Howard Markline to step up and say, I'll be there the next day and talk with you. I would expect the interim chancellor from Platteville to step up and say, I'll be there to talk to you. Why is it that you as mayor have to be the one putting this together? I mean, that's the thing that just blows my mind, is that there's no leadership here except for the local people that have very little control.
Well, in this case, I didn't wait. I chose to start calling them. But to your point, and I already stressed this, but I'll say it again, I'm more than willing to meet with any of them, to talk with any of them. I know I can't diffuse some of this. I know the questions you just asked are valid, and you're not the only one asking them. I don't know the answer.
And to be clear, Mayor, I am. This is not a criticism of you at all. I'm saying, in my mind, you're the hero along with the local people. I just don't understand the lack of leadership from the interim chancellor and our state senator. Moving on, I just have a couple of minutes. Let's say, for the sake of argument, for a second, let's say this is inevitable, that they're going to move out the programs, essentially close the campus. Give us your 2-minute thoughts on what may be next and your ideas as mayor for what is a great town.
Okay, so what would come next will have to be decided first, of course, at the county level, because as I stated, they own the real estate in the buildings. But if the campus is closed, if those classes are gone, they'll have to decide what they want to do. But I will say this, from the city's interest, if that is what happens, that real estate and the buildings on it are critical to the future development of Richland Center. Todd, we live in a place with difficult topography. Look at the steep hills in every direction. If you try,
I'm looking at right now.
That's right. You can't build up and over these steep hills. You can't do that. We also have the Pine River and several creeks that create floodplain. There are a lot of places here you can't build. That real estate is very valuable. I am not preaching that that's what I'm pushing for. I'm explaining that if the campus leaves, this county and this city absolutely cannot afford to leave those buildings sitting empty on that land. What that
Mayor,
leads to, I don't know yet.
I'm sorry to cut you off. We're running a little bit out of time. Mayor Todd Copperdell of Richland Center, really appreciate the time. Hope to have you back and talk more about the future of Richland and talk about the great things happening, like the Rotary Light Show. But thanks for coming on this morning, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
Have a great day, and we'll be back with more of the Todd Allball Show after this. Back to the Todd Allball Show on a Monday, November 28th, 2022. Time is 10:50, about 8 minutes left or so in our program until the top of the hour. And speaking of the top of the hour, I tell you, wake up the kids if they're still taking a nap and set your, not really a DVR, but anyway, just be there at 11 o'clock. It is the return of our colleague, Kristen Bry, host of As Goes Wisconsin. She has been sunning herself in the Caribbean somewhere on a well-deserved honeymoon. And she is back with all new and live show from the Shaw, Waukesha, on WAUK across the Civic Media Radio Network. So stay tuned at the top of the hour. Good to have Kristen back, right, Aaron?
Yeah, definitely.
So looking forward to Kristen Bry and her show, As Goes Wisconsin, at 11. Want to thank Richland Center Mayor Todd Copperdell for joining us this morning. Sorry, we had to cut things short a little bit due to a break. I'm still trying to figure out all these network breaks and doing the show live from Richland Center. There's a bit of a delay in the headphones, so Todd's trying to make it all work here. Todd Allball, that is, not Todd Copperdell. Great name, by the way, right, for a mayor? Mayor Todd Copperdell, thank you for coming on. And just to reiterate and to put a button on it, I think the county board chair, Marty Brewer, I think the locals are all doing great here in Richland Center. I mean, the community support has been outstanding for this campus from the day it was first started and built until today. And what frustrates me, what angers me, is the lack of response, particularly from Senator Howard Markline and from Interim Chancellor Tammy Avedovich in Platteville.
Right, definitely. And even some of the people we talked to who are local did express some opinions like, you know, maybe this will be for the best, but they also still expressed that even if that is the case, we need more transparency
absolutely.
From the people making these decisions.
And that's what we're asking for, right? I mean, and I'm only holding the people, you know, at this legislature and at Platteville, I'm only holding them to the example that I know. And that is having worked for former state senator Dale Schultz, who represented this area since 1992 in the state Senate until 2014. And I will tell you that Dale actually had, it was called Rapid Response Team. It was something that was set. It was basically there was also a disaster response team. We talked earlier about 90% of counties in Wisconsin being declared disaster areas. I'm looking at this map. Literally every single one of the counties in the 17th Senate District have been declared disaster areas between 2011 and 2021. So we had in our office, in Dale's office, a rapid response team to economic situations exactly like what's happening. And it was led by a guy by the name of Tom Jackson, longest serving staffer to Dale, and many in the area know him. He was an economic development, local economic development expert. He had literally a book of names from state agencies, from some of the private folks that he could call at a moment. As soon as news like this would break, whatever time it was, didn't matter. Dale would be on the phone to us and say, I want a rapid response team put together by 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to have a plan by noon, and I'm going to be wherever I need to be. And it didn't mean that we could always fix everything or reverse everything, But Dale was adamant, I want to be on the ground talking to local folks, seeing what we could do. And we have to have a plan when we go in there of what, how we can help. And again, maybe we can't quote unquote fix everything, but we're going to be there to help. So we had a rapid response team for economic emergencies when businesses shut down, we never had an educational place like this shut down, but when a business would pull out, that sort of thing, he had a plan. When a tornado would strike, when a flood would strike, we had a list of people we would call. Dale would go there if need be. We would talk to local elected officials. How can we help? And what frustrates me, and I'm glad to hear that Representative Kurtz represents this area of the assembly, has reached out to the mayor at least once. I believe you may have talked to Marty Brewer as well. But how you could be the sitting state senator from this area, Howard Markline, and never pick up the phone and call the mayor or call the county board chairman is beyond me. How you could be the interim chancellor of UW-Platteville, Tammy Ivetovich, and say that you want to be the permanent chancellor, but never pick up the phone and set up a meeting to come and say, hey, you know, I'm proposing to close the campus of your community. I'll get back to you after I have a plan in the middle of December. That's beyond me. So I take my hat off to Mayor Copperdall and the County Board Chair Brewer and to the locals who are doing everything they can to save this. Again, we have reached out and told everybody that we would be happy to host a productive roundtable about, is there a chance to reverse this? And if not, how do we go there from here? And so we are in communication with folks. We will host that whenever it is appropriate and wanted. And I hope that we're going to continue to work on the story of why this decision came now. And is there something more to it? We're going to be asking tough questions to UW-Platteville, the chancellor. We hope to have her on. We hope that she changes her decision to come on and talk to us. We will be respectful, but we will be pointed in our questions. So we shall see. But a tough situation for the Richland Center community. But we will keep on this story and bring you news as it happens or as we find it. We only have a couple of minutes left today, and probably just as well, because I didn't want to get into this story that much anyway, but I will simply mention it. Donald Trump had Thanksgiving down at Mar-a-Lago, and one of his guests was Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is an identified white supremacist in the Justice Department filings, and he made headlines last week for being at Mar-a-Lago. And what was even more stunning to me, it wasn't really that stunning that Trump would have him over. And of course, after this came out and was publicized, Trump says, you know, I didn't know he was a white supremacist. Come on.
It's just like Ron Johnson being, oh, I wasn't involved. Oh, I was involved for 2 seconds. Oh, I was involved for 2 hours.
Right.
We got Donald Trump like, I didn't know he was. Oh, I knew, but.
Right. I spent the 4th of July in Moscow, but I have no idea what's going on. You're right, Aaron.
And he continues to push the boundaries of what he can get away with and still be like considered a contender for office.
Right. I think what troubled me the most, so much of it is troubling, is that people like Kevin McCarthy, who wants to be the next Speaker of the House, but he doesn't have the votes without nut jobs like Marjorie Taylor Greene, have said virtually nothing. This is the guy who's announced he wants to be the Republican nominee for president in 2 years. He hosts a white supremacist for Thanksgiving, and most, not all, but most of the Republican Party are silent. And that's what ticks me off and troubles me. Sorry to leave you on that note. We're going to be here tomorrow, most likely, as well as Toddy Test to make sure he's still negative for COVID. Thanks you for Aaron for setting all this up today from the engineering side. Thank you all for listening. We'll hope to see you tomorrow. Until then, keep banging on your drum, because we're going to keep asking tough questions. Keep banging. We're going to get there together. Have a great day in Southwest Wisconsin.